Plus 49.
Hello and welcome all to another edition of Plus 49. My name is Sigrid Arteaga and we're so happy to be back here today. Let's start first with our highlights of the week. This week, it feels like everything is starting again. Kids are back at school, politicians are back at the Bundestag, and the last day to turn in our taxes was due yesterday, Monday the 2nd. Also, since yesterday, air passengers in the European Union, including Germany, will face a reintroduction of strict liquid restrictions in their hand luggage. The European Commission has announced that passengers will only be able to carry liquid containers of 100 millimeters or less in their carry-on bags. Looking ahead, on September 12th, Germany will conduct a national-wide trial warning known as VanTag. At 11 a.m., residents across the country will receive a test alert on their mobile phones, radios, or TVs. A follow-up message confirming the end of the test will be sent out at 11:45 a.m. In other news, a significant change is coming for those considering organ donation. From September 30th, registration as an organ donor will be even easier. Residents over the age of 16 will be able to sign up through their health app insurance. This is part of an ongoing effort to remove barriers to organ donation, with nearly 100,000 new donors already registered online since March of this year. For the Berlin commuters, there's a heads up. Starting on September 13th, the S9 and S45, connecting the city center to the airport, will be out of service for maintenance. This disruption will last until mid-November. Finally, let's leave on a positive note. For the first time since 2019, life expectancy has risen. The average life expectancy for men in Germany has increased to 78.6 years, while women can now expect to live 83.3 years. This, according to the latest data from Statista. This marks an encouraging sign after several challenging years. With the International Literature Festival coming up this week, let's take a closer look at the role of literature here in Germany. Starting with the medieval epic Nibelungenlied, to the works of influential writers such as Johann Wolfram von Goethe and Friedrich Schiller, literature has played a crucial role in shaping German national identity, particularly during periods of political upheaval and social change. In the 19th century, as Germany moved towards unification, writers became instrumental in articulating a sense of shared culture and values. The works of poets and novelists often reflected the aspirations and struggles of the German people, fostering a collective consciousness that transcended regional differences. Their works have not only shaped national identity, but also have left their mark on international literary traditions. Goethe and Schiller, often regarded the titans of German literature, continue immensely to develop of literary forms and themes that resonated even today. Goethe's Faust, for instance, explores complex questions of ambition, morality, and human desire through the story of a man who makes a pact with the devil in his quest for knowledge and fulfillment. This timeless narrative raises profound ethical dilemmas that challenges readers to reflect on their own lives and choices. Meanwhile, Schiller's plays delve into themes of freedom, justice, and the human spirit's resilience against oppressions. Works like William Tell and The Robbers not only entertain, but also provoke critical thought about society structures and individual agency. The impact of German literature extends beyond its borders. It has inspired movements such as Romanticism and Expressionism, influencing writers and thinkers worldwide. The philosophical underpinnings found in German literature particularly in the works of thinkers like Nietzsche and Kafka, continue to prove thought and discussion about existency, society, and the human condition. Nietzsche, for example, further enriched German literature by questioning traditions, morality, and encouraging individuals to seek their own values. His ideas about nihilism and the Übermensch have sparked ongoing discussions about meaning in an indifferent universe. Even today, the literature continues to thrive with contemporary authors such as Hertha Müller and Daniel Kehlmann gaining international acclaim. Müller's poignant exploration of identity and memory resonates with readers grappling with issues of displacement and trauma. Kehlmann's inventing storytelling blurs the lines between reality and fiction, inviting readers to question their own perceptions. Right now with us, we have Tipponda Timbelu, and I really hope that I said his last name good. He is news producer, editor, and member of editorial board at Deutsche Welle. Tipponda, welcome here to us with us.
Thank you, Sigrid. I hope I said your name correct. Sigrid, with an S or with a harder Z?
I mean, I was born in Mexico, so it's Sigrid, which...
you know, I would never get that right, but... Sigrid, I will try that in Spanish with a Mexican accent as hard as I can. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me and inviting me.
Thank you for being here. And let's start with the first question regarding what brought you to Berlin?
What brought me to Berlin? I decided to move to Berlin. I knew I wanted to be here when I came here because I had been to Berlin before. So I moved to Berlin in 2017. Before that, I used to live in Bonn, working for Deutsche Welle. And so I had been to Berlin before as a Deutsche Welle trainee. That was in 2012. And then I had come back every now and then to visit friends, to see the city, because I kind of just fell in love with Berlin in 2012, because one of my really good friends was living in Berlin at the time. And that was my third time to be in Berlin. And before that, I never quite liked the city, but seeing the city through this good friend's eyes just sort of opened a whole new world for me in Berlin. And that changed everything about the way I felt about the city. So, and I knew I wanted to live here. It took a while because obviously I wanted to move here in 2017, but I only managed to do that in 2012 rather. And then I only managed to do that in 2017. So 5 years later, but I'm glad I did it.
What made you fall in love with Berlin?
I think it's just sort of this really open vibe that the city has. I think the city is probably, I think for me, arguably the most welcoming city in Germany. It has, you know, even, I think it's just a big city. It's so spread out, and the different districts have different vibes to them. So you could be in different parts of Berlin and feel like you're visiting a different town as well. The people look different. They act a little bit different as well. And even, of course, the places you can go to in those parts of town are also slightly different from maybe your Kiez, your own district. And I think that's what I kind of like. Oh, Kiez is actually a neighborhood rather than district. That's what I like about Berlin. It's just really, it has so much diversity in its, you know, in different facets. So I've lived in different parts of Germany, and I know people say that Cologne, Rhineland is friendly, but I didn't feel like that. And I felt the openness and the friendliness more in a city like Berlin. I know it's hard for people to believe because, of course, there is this thing about Berlin Schnauze, which is like this whole attitude about how unfriendly people are. And I guess it does apply to some Berliners, but there are so many people who are like, you know, new Berliners like myself, then they are more friendly, of course. But even like the original Berliners, they are friendly once if you smile or if they show you an attitude and you just sort of like smile back and say, hey, I got attitude too. I think they behave very differently. At least it works for me. I mean, everybody has to find the way of dealing with it. But for me, it's so amazing because even the people who are super unfriendly sometimes, I just manage to sort of like, brush it off. And then if they are like that, I can just sort of forget it. But most of the time, I think I just generally have a good experience with most people here.
I think at this time, we need to ask you why, because we have been asking a lot of expats and internationals, and they're all like, no, no, Berlin, go, go away. And you said exactly the opposite. So please let us know. We need to know.
I'm going to probably end up in trouble for saying that. But I mean, I think it's all relative and subjective. Like, experiences you make obviously depend on, I think it's also what's your attitude? What do you bring? And I think having lived in Germany for 10 years by the time I moved here, I was already able to speak German. I think I sort of had an expectation of how to behave in Germany. And I think that changed things a little bit, because I think if I had moved to Berlin before I had experienced other parts of Germany, probably I would have had a very different experience, I would say. But of course, part of that also has to do with who I am and how I approach people. And I'm assuming that I've probably found ways of surviving in Germany, some of them probably unconscious. And I am quite a friendly person. I mean, of course, I can also be very reserved depending on the situation. So I always try to read the room and sort of understand the people around me. But I generally try to just bring a positive attitude. And when people don't respond the way I expect them to, I say, you know, that's their problem, not my problem. And I think there is something about even saying that's their problem, not my problem. I think that is a very Berlin attitude. So it's sort of like, your problem, not mine, whatever. And I think that's the attitude that generally most people have. So if you're positive and you also come with that attitude, I think you can survive some of the negativity, because I think it's a harsh city sometimes as well. I think Berlin is hard. The weather can be very depressing, especially in the winter. It's gray, but I think so is it in other parts of Germany, and I learned to survive those parts of Germany. And so I think I've learned to survive the bad weather and just sort of not let other people or other things determine how I feel. And I think that's super important. And I think it's not just Berlin, probably it applies everywhere else. And for some reason, then people's negativity doesn't rub off of me as much as it should. I mean, probably it does a little bit sometimes, but generally I don't let it.
I think it's super empowering what you're saying. And I keep somehow reflecting that Berlin is somehow like a being on a hardcore therapy session where you have to take A, nothing personal, and B, just put yourself out there and be as bright as you can be. Because if the weather is that gray, then you have to be a little bit of sunshine for everybody else around it. And don't take anything personal again.
I'm glad you mentioned the weather, because I think the city is a whole different place in the spring and in the summer. Like, you know, when the days are long and people are sitting outside, you know, having their beer or whatever beverage they prefer, beer, alcohol, coffee, whatever. Like, the city just changes. Like, the spring comes along and Berlin feels like a different city. And I think that's quite interesting. So I think part of it also has just to do with the weather in Germany, probably. And there are parts of Germany where it's worse than here. So just saying. And so so I think, of course, if you let the weather get to you, then that might also affect you. And then, of course, everybody's grumpy. So you also get grumpier because everybody else is grumpy. So I think there's part of that, too. I'm not saying it's easy to live here. I think it can be difficult. But I think you just need to be your own person. And you need to decide how you want to feel. Don't let the weather or people get you down.
I do believe that winter is the price you have to pay to live Berlin in the summer. When you arrived in Germany, do you still remember your first cultural shocks? Or right now that you already, I mean, at the end of the day, you're already here, very well integrated, but maybe there's still a couple of things where you say, like, why? Why is this happening? I mean, I already made at some point this comment about me having my first German boyfriend. He kept asking, or I told him, I need flowers. I'm a Latina. I need flowers. And he was just like, no, I just give flowers whenever I do something wrong. So it was like the first big culture problem that we had, because I was like, I need my flowers. And he was like, no, I'm not going to do it. So, I mean, at the end of the day, you have to understand your culture. And then you understand the culture of where you're living in. And you probably have had a couple of nice, interesting situations.
I do. I mean, I do. Like, I have to think of some. I think they probably are a couple, because of course, but of course, they normally come up in conversations. So, like, someone would say, like, "Oh yeah, so that, of course, that." I mean, I think one of the culture shocks I have, I think still, I'm always amazed, because I generally, like I said, I try to have a positive attitude and bring with me positivity, and just be, like, just try to generate that wherever I am. Generally, I have a smile on my face, and if I, if I make eye contact with someone, then I'll smile or nod and sort of just, and of course, Germans who don't know you, they just kind of look at you with a blank face. And it's sort of like, I find, like, okay, so why are you staring? And so if you're gonna look at me and stare at me, you better respond, because, what the hell? Because that just looks like you're crazy or weird, or, I mean, have I got something on my face? Then tell me. So it's just like, hello, like, being human, if you make eye contact, and especially if you, like, linger, then smile. If the person smiles at you, or if they nod, you should nod back. That is sort of like, I think that's sort of like an international thing. I don't know, but I think Germans just haven't gotten that yet.
I think, but yet. And with the last video that you did regarding why some skilled immigrants are leaving Germany, what is your personal takeaway from it?
I think it's sort of like those really difficult first couple of years. I think when someone struggles, like Ozan, one of the characters in the video, and he decided to leave because, of course, he's been here for like 3 years or so, and it just didn't work out for him. Of course, that may have to do with the fact that he arrived also during the pandemic. Maybe the fact that he lives in Hanover, I don't know. Of course, these experiences are very subjective. And like I said, I think maybe if I had moved to Berlin at the beginning of my stay in Germany, I don't know if I would have really stayed. That's also another question. I think timing is everything. And but of course, the beginning is really the time that someone decides to stay longer or to leave a country. And I think if there's generally a huge struggle at the beginning, as I would say is the case in Germany, mostly also because of the language, but also bureaucracy, which also sort of overlaps with language, I think that speaks for itself, that more people might decide to leave in those, after those 2, 3 years. And of course, if you're a single person, or if you are not, like, in a partnership, you're not with someone, you don't have kids, then of course the sticky reasons to stay in a place are not there. So, for someone moving their whole family to be in Germany, that's different. But I think a lot of people migrating to countries in their mid to late 20s, or even in their 30s, those people don't always have the things keeping them there. So the environment has to be extremely welcoming and extremely warm. And I mean that metaphorically, obviously, because I wouldn't expect Germany to be warm all the time. But I think that is super important. And I think that's what sometimes is missing. I think Germany still has challenges like other countries too, but I think the sticky reasons aren't always there. And of course, other people have also communities, more communities that come from their countries, in other places, a language, maybe if it's English, or even if it's Spanish or French. There are other European countries that offer, that language comfort, Portuguese even. So the competition is there for Germany, especially if the countries that we're talking about are also looking for the same talent.
Considering the current situation of Germany, and I think regarding the international community, we're all very preoccupied regarding AfD, and it's not only what's really happening, but it's also what we are fearing the most, because maybe there's a lot of misconstructions there, misinformation. But I think we can wish something for Germany, for us, for the next couple of years. What would your wish be for Germany for the next 5 years?
Oh my God, it's a really big question. What would my wish for Germany be? I mean, I think I have some, I'm a bit concerned about Germany's economy, obviously. I mean, I work mostly in the business department at Deutsche Welle, and I'm looking at the economic data. I think it's just not very positive. I think the demographic development isn't that positive either. And so obviously skilled immigrants need to be coming to this country to, make up for a lot of the boomer population that is going into retirement. However, like you mentioned, also the politics and doesn't seem to be supporting that, is not supporting an environment that is open and welcoming. People are still, debating whether they need immigration. And I think at this point, it shouldn't be a debate about needing immigration, especially skilled immigration shouldn't be up for debate as far as I'm concerned, based on what I'm seeing in terms of the economic figures. And I think that's what I'm really concerned about. I'm not seeing a country that is optimistic about its future. And whether that is the politicians who are, having maybe the debate like that, which maybe is not necessarily well placed, or is maybe they're not doing it in a way that is convincing for the German population, then I'm not optimistic about the future, unfortunately, because I think I would like to see a country that is looking forward to the future. And that's not what I see from Germany. They're not looking forward to the future. I think there are some other European countries where that they have the same, sometimes even similar problems, but they are positive about the future because actually maybe they're coming from a political and economic system that wasn't functioning as well. And even though things aren't that great now, they still can look forward to a better economy going forward. And that's not what I see in Germany, unfortunately. So Germany is right now has been called the sick man of Europe. And I think that's what it looks like. And I think it might get sicker if people don't find solutions, quick solutions to the problems that are here.
Have you ever really found any optimistic Germans?
That's the problem. I mean, I don't know. I think that's also the problem. Maybe it's just an attitude, and maybe I've picked up that attitude because now I'm obviously being critical about Germany and where it stands today. So maybe, but I think that's also sort of my nature as a journalist to be more critical than to be even though I try to be optimistic in my personal life. In my professional life, I'm sort of the opposite, and I'm looking for the problems maybe more so. But I think it's fair to say that just looking at the general mood of the society, and especially when you speak to younger people, and I think that's what's important. And I think I always think about what is the mood of a place. And I think I was in Poland a couple of years ago, and even though I think the mood felt like it's improving rather than not improving. Whereas here it feels like people are not looking to the future in a positive way. Of course, every country has its problems and challenges that can, you can take that away. But are people looking back at by looking back and saying, "Oh, those were the days," or are they looking forward and saying, "Oh, things are better than they were back in the day, and we are going to be better"? And I think here it's sort of like they're looking always back and looking and not trying to solve the problems today to try to make it better for the future.
I do believe that being not optimistic, it's part of somehow the DNA in Germany. Don't know. I mean, this is something that I do remember from my grandmother. Like that German part hasn't been. I don't know. It's somehow not really consequent. It's kind of always. Is this more or less the same thing as if you ask something a German for something, they automatically are saying first no. In Latin America, we say yes. We're still not optimistic, but somehow we're always with a smile and this thing. So I do believe that part of this optimism that is lacking the German generations or the German society may come from this deep-rooted idea of we cannot shine, we cannot find ourselves in a better situation. We can never say that something is better or improving because what if something else happens? So, but going back to the reflection, which I found fascinating, and I do believe maybe what we need to wish Germany is a lot of optimism.
Maybe, I think maybe a lot of optimism. And yeah, I think that would help. A lot of optimism for sure. That's something.
Sadly, this is our last segment with Tsiponda. And before we leave him, even though I believe you will be coming back often with us here at Just Radio. So, what do you do at the Deutsche Welle?
What do I do at DW Deutsche Welle? I do a couple of different things. So you mentioned that I'm a news producer. I'm also a planner. I'm a reporter, sometimes in front of the camera, sometimes behind the camera. And I also do some online writing. So I write online articles as well. So I do a lot of different things. I did my traineeship, multimedia traineeship at Deutsche Welle. So of course, I've been trained in different areas of journalism. And so that's why I get to do those different things. But Deutsche Welle is also one of those few media companies where you are allowed to do a lot of different things if you can. And that's why I enjoy working there.
About Deutsche Welle, I think everybody believes or thinks that if you're a journalist and you come to Germany, you have to go to Deutsche Welle. How real is it? Because to be in a perspective of being a journalist and working for the Deutsche Welle.
Well, I mean, I think I've met so many people who are like, foreign international journalists who move to Germany. Obviously, Deutsche Welle is like the one address that you can go to because they have so many languages. There's 32. But of course, that said, depending on which language you work with, it can be very competitive to get in, or maybe it's just not the right time for you to get in because they don't need anyone at that time. So I think it's a great place to work. And it's, of course, a very, well, like, admired address, and everybody wants to be there, so coveted. And of course, I understand that, but I think it's just nice to also look and see if you can maybe learn German, improve your German. Also, your chances of working at Deutsche Welle are better if you probably speak German, even though, of course, you don't have to. But I think it really helps. And I think that's obviously going to help you in the long run everywhere else. So you just don't want to, fixate on one place because, of course, there's always limited opportunities to be there or to work there because other people may be trying to do the same thing as well. So you gotta sort of separate yourself from the crowd.
And with this in mind, what are your thoughts on living as an international in Germany? What are the things that you would say to those who want to come to live here, that they should prepare themselves for, or what can they bring to this country so that they really integrate and they really feel part of Berlin or Germany and want to stay here?
I think the first couple of years are the hardest for most people in Germany. They certainly were for me, and I recently worked on a video on YouTube, which is now on YouTube, on skilled migration to Germany. And I think a lot of the complaints or some of the criticisms are about the first couple of years in Germany. However, I think for those who do learn German and also find networks, I think you need German networks to survive in this country. And one way to get into them is to speak German. So I think I would really encourage people to explore what they enjoy. I think it took me ages to learn German, even though I do speak German now and I'm very comfortable in the language, but it took me at least about 5 years and even slightly longer to be very like fully comfortable in the language. And that's because I was working full time. It's super hard to learn a language when you're working 40 or more hours. So I think it's unrealistic to expect yourself to be fluent within 2, 3 years if you're working full time. It's not realistic unless you're like super talented in languages. So don't be too hard on yourself, but of course, make the effort. And once I think even at the beginning, you can try to be in German networks, but better like you need to find those German networks and you need to go around your hobbies. If it is your religion, then do that. If it's maybe taking some educational evening classes or whatever, do what you need to be around Germans. I mean, maybe getting into a relationship with a German, that also helps. I mean, I'm with a German now, but I was already speaking German before I met him. And now we're together. And the fact that I have, his family is very involved in his life. So that helps me to actually literally have a German family now. So I'm sort of part of a German family, but it took a while. And of course, I didn't get that at the beginning. I wish I had, but I don't know if it would have been as easy if I didn't speak the language. Because, of course, with some of his family members who don't speak English very well, that would have, of course, probably hurt the communication and made it harder. And maybe I wouldn't have enjoyed being around them as much as I do now. So I think the language is one part of it. But of course, be realistic and don't be too hard on yourself at the same time, because I think we need to manage expectations of ourselves, but also of Germans as well. So, both.
Tupendal, thank you so much for being here with us today. For everybody who was hearing this interview, follow Tupendal on his social media. Take a look at what he just did on work skilled migrations. It's in YouTube. We're going to put the information on the show notes. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Great. Thank you very much for having me. And I hope I did my best with pronouncing your name correctly. But I'll practice. I'll practice. Thank you.
Clause 49. Ask a German.
So, hello. My name is Chiponda, and I have a question for the Germans out there. So I love to smile. I say hello to people who might be staring at me or looking at me, and that's what I do. And so I'm a friendly person. Why don't you guys smile back and say hello back? At least most of you, at least. So why is that? You just sort of stare back with a blank face, and I'm like, what the hell? So tell me why.
I think the more German strangers you meet, the more obvious it becomes. Germans don't smile. At least they don't do it that often, especially in a fleeting encounter with a stranger. Rather than greet you with a friendly smile, they often just stare at you, making you wonder if you did something wrong. But why is that? I can assure you, in most cases, it doesn't really have anything to do with you as a person. Smiling is often reserved for friends and family rather than being a general greeting of strangers. This reflects a value placed on authenticity in interactions. One could argue that Germans believe a smile should be genuine rather than a mere social obligation. However, I think it's more a matter of respecting privacy and personal space. Smiling at strangers might be seen as intrusive or overly familiar, as Germans often prefer to maintain a certain distance until they know someone better. This emphasis on personal boundaries contributes to a more reserved demeanor in public settings. It is also important to note that attitudes can vary significantly within Germany itself. In some regions, people may be more open and approachable, while in others, the demeanor may remain more reserved. The biggest difference is probably between people from the city and the countryside. While in the busy streets of Berlin, a smile might be a rare sight, in the countryside you are often greeted with happy faces and a general friendlier attitude. Interestingly, common interests can also encourage Germans to smile at one another. Of course, in the mere seconds you pass a person, it is hard to tell whether you have something in common or not, but there are some obvious giveaways. For instance, if you're out for a walk and spot someone with a dog, there's a good chance you'll see smiles exchanged between fellow dog owners. It's as if the shared experience of caring for their furry companions creates an instant bond that transcends the initial reserve. So next time you find yourself in Germany and encounter a serious expressions from a stranger, remember, it's not personal. Beneath that stoic exterior lies a culture that values authenticity and personal space. And who knows, if you share an interest like dogs or perhaps even an appreciation for good beer, you might just unlock that elusive German smile.
Thank you so much for being part of today's episode. We hope you enjoy it. Thank you, Egon and Marlene, for making this project happen, and thank you for listening.